Welcome to Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler. I'm Kent Lampert. Each week, we'll bring you a sampling of some of the best Catholic podcasts being prepared and shared out there on the internet. This week, I want to offer some help with the always challenging question, how's your prayer life? We all should strive for a solid, sustainable prayer life, but for each of us, that can be a vastly different reality. The world of Catholic podcasts is abundant soil from which we can harvest all kinds of direction, so today we'll share a number of those resources for you to explore if you need a little help. But first up, let's check in with Joan Watson from 3-Minute Theology with a look at the importance of prayer.
Talk today a little bit about our prayer life. You know, I think inside, deep down, we all know we're supposed to have a prayer life, but this can sound really intimidating. If we're not praying on a daily basis, we hear these words, a prayer life, and the first thing we think of are probably monks and nuns spending hours of the day in prayer, in deep meditation and contemplation, and we think, I could never do that. I don't have time for that, and so we write it off, and we get so intimidated that we don't have any prayer life. Now, the important thing to remember about prayer is that it's a conversation with God. And so the first thing I would advise you to do is just start having a conversation with God. One of my favorite times to do this in prayer is when I'm sitting in my car in traffic. You know, a lot of us have to do that. We have to sit in traffic, and we either have to listen to the radio or talk on the phone. And what if we put that all aside and we turn to God and we tell God about our day? We really share with Him our thoughts and our feelings and our desires and our fears. We share our fears about other people and what distresses us and what makes us happy. The more we do this, the more we might find ourselves throughout the day sharing those same things. When we come across a difficult situation in school or work, when we come across something that makes us happy, we turn to God as we would a friend. That's prayer. It doesn't require any fancy language. It requires a conversation, a relationship with God, just like he was one of our friends. Now, that's not to write off the fancy language. Memorized prayer and the prayers of the church, like the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Rosary, what we call the Angelus, those prayers are important, and those can really set time in our day so that we recollect ourselves and we remember the great gift that God's given us in this life. One of these prayers that I mentioned was the Angelus. The Angelus is an ancient prayer of the church that's traditionally prayed at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. If you live near a Catholic church, you might hear church bells going off at these times, and that's why. It's to call us to prayer. If you aren't near a Catholic church, you can always set your cell phone alarm to go off. Set it to go off at noon. No one else needs to know why it's going off, but when it goes off, you immediately turn your mind and your thought to God, praying the Angelus and thanking Him for this great gift of the Incarnation and for loving you so much that He sends His Son to save you. So I think the important thing to remember with our prayer life is that it just matters that we start. If you're not praying on a daily basis, just start turning to God in prayer in simple, easy ways. The Angelus, a simple conversation with Him. Every day we should be doing something to cultivate that relationship with Him. If you didn't speak to your spouse for a whole day, don't you think they'd get a little angry? That same relationship needs to be cultivated with God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear how you're doing. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is as important to us as the air we breathe and the water we drink. It's vital to our lives. And so don't be intimidated. Don't think you have to start by praying for hours a day. Just start by talking to Him. He wants to hear from you. And that's a little theology in 3 minutes.
There are any number of podcasts available to guide us through daily prayer and meditation. Our first offering on the sampler comes from the Catholic Classic Society and their Daily Meditations, episode number 58, Why We Must Rest in God Above All Goods and Gifts.
The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, translated by the Reverend William Benham. The third book, On Inward Consolation. Chapter 21. That we must rest in God above all goods and gifts. Above all things, and in all things, thou shalt rest always in the Lord, O my soul, for he himself is the eternal rest of the saints. Grant me, most sweet and loving Jesus, to rest in thee above every creature, above all health and beauty, above all glory and honour, above all power and dignity, above all knowledge and skilfulness, above all riches and arts, above all joy and exaltation, above all fame and praise, above all sweetness and consolation, above all hope and promise, above all merit and desire, above all gifts and rewards which thou canst give and pour forth, above all joy and tribulation which the mind is able to receive and feel, in a word, above angels and archangels, and all the army of heaven, above all things visible and invisible, and above everything which thou, O God, art not. For thou, O Lord my God, art best above all things. Thou only art the Most High, thou only the Almighty, thou only the All-Sufficient and the fullness of all things. Thou only all-delightsome and the all-comforting. Thou alone the altogether lovely and altogether loving. Thou alone the most exalted and most glorious above all things, in whom all things are and were and ever shall be, altogether and all perfect. And thus it falleth short and is insufficient whatsoever thou givest to me without thyself, or whatsoever thou revealest or dost promise concerning thyself, while thou art not seen or fully possessed. Since verily my heart cannot truly rest, nor be entirely content, except it rest in thee, and go beyond all gifts and every creature. O my most beloved spouse, Jesus Christ, most holy lover of my soul, ruler of this whole creation, who shall give me the wings of true liberty, that I may flee to thee and find rest? O, when shall it be given me to be open, and to receive thee to the full, and to see how sweet thou art, O Lord my God? When shall I collect myself altogether in thee, that because of thy love I may not feel myself at all, but may know thee only, above every sense and pleasure, in measure not known to others? But now I ofttimes groan, and bear my sad estate with sorrow, because many evils befall me in this vale of miseries which continually disturb and fill me with sorrow, and encloud me, continually hinder and fill me with care, allure and entangle me, that I cannot have free access to thee, nor enjoy that sweet intercourse which is always near at hand to the blessed spirits. Let my deep sighing come before thee, and my manifold desolation on the earth. O Jesus, light of eternal glory, solace of the wandering soul, before thee my mouth is without speech, and my silence speaketh to thee. How long will my Lord delay to come unto me? Let him come unto me, his poor and humble one, and make me glad. Let him put forth his hand and deliver his holy one from every snare. Come, O come, for without thee shall be no joyful day or hour, for thou art my joy, and without thee is my table empty. I am miserable, and in a manner imprisoned and loaded with fetters, until thou refresh me by the light of thy presence, and give me liberty, and show thy loving countenance. Let others seek some other things instead of thee, whatsoever it shall please them, but for my part nothing else pleaseth or shall please save thou, my God, my hope, my eternal salvation. I will not hold my peace, nor cease to implore, until thy grace return, and until thou speak to me within. Behold, here I am, behold, I come to thee, for thou didst call me. Thy tears and the longing of thy soul, thy humbleness and contrition of heart have inclined me and brought me to thee. And I said, Lord, I have called upon thee, and I have longed to enjoy thee, being ready to reject everything for thy sake. For thou didst first move me to seek thee. Therefore blessed be thou, O Lord, who has wrought this good work upon thy servant, according to the multitude of thy mercy. What then hath thy servant to say in thy presence, save to humble himself greatly before thee, being always mindful of his own iniquity and vileness? For there is none like unto thee in all marvels of heaven and earth. Excellent are thy works, true are thy judgments, and by thy providence are all things governed. Therefore praise and glory be unto thee, O wisdom of the Father. Let my mouth and my soul and all created things praise and bless thee together.
Thank you for listening to today's meditation. If you enjoyed this meditation and would like a reminder to pray these every day, subscribe for free at dailycatholicmeditations.com.
Daily meditations can come in many forms. Our next is a sample from Regnum Christi and their meditation for Monday of the fourth week in Ordinary Time, A Madman for Christ.
Regnum Christi Daily Meditations, a service of the Legionaries of Christ.
NRC Meditation for January 30th, 2023. Monday of the fourth week in Ordinary Time. A Madman for Christ. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. He had been saying to him, Unclean spirit, come out of the man. He asked him, What is your name? He replied, Legion is my name. There are many of us. And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive them away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside. And they pleaded with him, Send us into the swine. Let us enter them. And he let them. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea, where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside. And people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by Legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. Introductory prayer. Father in heaven, my heart is hungry for your word. I believe that you want to speak a word of hope to me today. How good it would be if I were to see myself and my future as you do. But at least I do trust in you. I wish to take up your challenge to be holy, whatever the cost, and I am confident that you will accompany me closely and help me with your grace. Petition. Lord Jesus, help me to abandon myself to your healing power. First reflection, a hopeless situation. The man possessed by a legion of demons seemed to the people around, and perhaps to himself, a hopeless case. Living there alone amidst the tombs, he could not help but harm himself, gashing himself against stones. Nobody could help him by restraining him. In our lives with God, some seemingly unsolvable situation may exist, perhaps some sinful state we got ourselves into, but from which we cannot seem to extract ourselves. Or we experience that we are always falling into the same sins, the same biting impatience, the same laziness, the same sensuality. Friends and family seek to help us, but we don't have the will to change. Instead of rectifying the situation, we just make a pact with a kind of modus vivendi, saying to ourselves, we can only live as best as we can. But the result is that the one demon has multiplied in me and become a legion of demons. Second reflection, Jesus has power. Jesus encounters the possessed man. The scene is intriguing. The man runs to prostrate himself before Christ, while at the same time, the demons show fear and beg Jesus not to be harsh with them. How consoling to know that no situation can escape Christ's power to straighten it out. It is also consoling to know that Jesus wants to free us from the power of the devil, from any sinful state in which we find ourselves. We can always turn to Christ to ask to be healed, because no one is ever so sinful or so possessed to be totally repugnant to God's love. Certainly, we may fear that Christ's medicine may hurt, but we need to trust that the spiritual treatment is worth it. The treatment may be an honest and thorough confession, a brutally sincere self-examination, or the breaking up of an unhealthy relationship. Third reflection, transformation into a witness. Imagine the cured man, still with the scars of his gashes, but now in his full senses. What an amazing sight. It brings us to our knees in thanks to Christ for his power and mercy. Of course, the cured man is overwhelmed by the transformation. He gives no thought to going back to ordinary life. His thankfulness makes him want to accompany Jesus, his friend and Savior. However, Jesus gives him a mission, sending him to his family and friends to tell the story of how Jesus cured him. Wherever the cured man goes, he will proclaim the marvels the Lord has done in him. When we experience absolution from our sins and confession, does our thanksgiving cause us to proclaim the power and love of Christ to our family and friends? Conversation with Christ. Lord Jesus, you have set me free and kept me from so many vices and demons, addictions and grudges, materialism and indifference. You have given me the grace to know you and choose you. I want to thank you for your power and mercy towards me. I resolve to be a witness to your great love among my family and friends. Resolution. I will witness to some healing that the Lord has worked in my life with a friend or family member.
For more resources, visit RegnumChristi.org or download the Regnum Christi English app today.
Catholic Daily Reflections from My Catholic Life is yet another great source to nourish your prayer life. Here's a taste of what they have to offer.
This is Catholic Daily Reflections for Wednesday of the fourth week in Ordinary Time. Today's reflection is entitled, Christ All Around Us. Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. After traveling throughout the countryside, performing miracles, teaching the crowds, and gaining many followers, Jesus returned to Nazareth, where he grew up. Perhaps his disciples were excited to return with Jesus to his native place, thinking that his own townspeople would be overjoyed to see Jesus again because of the many stories of his miracles and authoritative teaching. But the disciples were soon to have quite a surprise. After arriving in Nazareth, Jesus entered the synagogue to teach, and he taught with an authority and wisdom that confounded the locals. They said among themselves, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him?" They were confused because they knew Jesus. He was the local carpenter who worked for years with his father, who was a carpenter. He was Mary's son, and they knew his other relatives by name. The primary difficulty Jesus' townspeople had was their familiarity with Jesus. They knew him. They knew where he lived. They knew him as he grew up. They knew his family. They knew all about him. Therefore, they wondered, how could he be anything special? How could he now teach with authority? How could he now do miracles? Thus, they were astonished, and they allowed that astonishment to turn into doubt, judgment, and criticism. The same temptation is something we all deal with more than we may realize. It is often easier to admire a stranger from afar than one whom we know well. When we hear of someone for the first time who is doing something admirable, it's easy to join in that admiration. But when we hear good news about someone we know well, we can easily be tempted to jealousy or envy and to be skeptical and even critical. But the truth is that every saint has a family. And every family potentially has brothers and sisters, cousins, and other relatives through whom God will do great things. This should not surprise us. It should inspire us. And we should rejoice when those close to us and with whom we are familiar are used powerfully by our good God. Reflect today upon those whom you are familiar with in life, especially your own family. Examine whether or not you struggle with an ability to see beyond the surface and accept that God dwells within everyone. We must constantly seek to discover the presence of God all around us, especially in the lives of those whom we know very well. Let us pray. My ever-present Lord, thank you for the countless ways in which you are present in the lives of those all around me. Give me the grace to see you and to love you in the lives of those closest to me. As I discover your glorious presence in their lives, fill me with deep gratitude and help me to acknowledge your love that comes forth from their lives. Jesus, I trust in you.
One of our frequent sources for solid Catholic podcast content is the Augustine Institute. Their supplement for your daily prayer life comes in the form of Catholic Daily Reflections with Dr. Tim Gray. This is an example from January 31st of 2023.
You're listening to Daily Reflections with Dr. Tim Gray. This podcast is produced by the Augustine Institute, an apostolate helping Catholics understand, live, and share their faith.
Welcome to our daily reflection for this Tuesday, January 31st, and we continue our reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we're at this great climactic moment with chapter 12, where he exhorts us, brothers and sisters, you know, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And of course, this is a reference to what? It kind of puts us in an arena, and we're, you know, on earth, those of us who are struggling with our faith and to persevere, we're in the on the main floor of the arena in the spectacle. And there's an audience watching us. And who's that audience watching us from the seats? Well, that's the saints in heaven. So it gives us this wild picture that the saints in heaven are watching us in our struggle, in our great conflict, in our ordeal, in this great competition. And they're cheering us on. And so here's the beautiful thing that the church teaches. We could pray to the saints for their intercession to help us win the grace to have the strength to persevere and to win and to triumph in our struggle. And so that's a great image. And so we have several images here that talk about in almost a kind of a sporting spectacle image. So you have this idea of an arena and a contest, right? And so we have the cloud of witnesses. And so it's like, okay, let's run the race then. Let's persevere. We're in this arena. Let's compete. And so there's another athletic metaphor of running the race. And I told you that this isn't a sprint earlier when we talked about Hebrews 10, but we're running a marathon and we have to have endurance to win. And so there's another athletic imagery. And then, you know, we have to be like Christ, who's our pioneer and he's our leader. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured even the cross and whatever suffering. So we too have to take on our trials with a cheerfulness and a hope. And sometimes we let the trials of the world depress us and bring us down and we complain. Oh, this problem with this political leader, this problem with this bill that was passed or this scandal in the church, and we kind of always focus on the problems. And no, we have to focus on the hope set before us in Jesus Christ, because that will give us the energy and the joy to persevere. We need that, right? We need that. And then, in order that we may not, what? Grow weary and lose heart. And then it says this, in your struggle against sin, and that's really what the whole struggle and conflict is about. It's struggling against sin. And that word struggle is another athletic metaphor that's being picked up. This is where you get the word agon in Greek. It's what that word is from, agon, agony. And so it's the striving, the, you know, agony of giving everything you have as an athlete in the ordeal, in the battle, in the struggle, in the race. And so we are to do that. We need to have the agon. And what's our agon? What's our great struggle in this arena? It's not against a particular enemy. It's against sin. And of course, we're tempted to sin. And what's that temptation to sin? To be selfish, right? To not work hard in our faith. To not persevere. To not persevere in praying because I'm tired. Not persevere in praying because I'm busy. To not persevere in praying because I want to do something else that's more entertaining. No, we've got to persevere and endure in this race. And so that's what we're called to. And this is a great passage to tell us that, hey, we're in a struggle. How are you doing? And if you're struggling in this struggle in the arena, pray to the saints that they may give you the grace, that they may intercede before the throne of the Lamb and win the grace for you to persevere and conquer who? Yourself. So that you don't sin by being lazy, slothful, greedy, all the different ways we can fall into sin. But what we need to conquer most of all is ourselves. Let's pray for that grace. May the Lord give you the joy and the perseverance to struggle and win. God bless you.
To sign up and start receiving these daily reflections in your inbox every day for free, visit form.org/daily and enter your email.
You can watch these reflections in video format by visiting formed.org. Formed is an online Catholic streaming service created by the Augustine Institute and Ignatius Press, with award-winning studies and parish programs, inspiring audio content, movies, ebooks, and family-friendly kids programming. To support the mission of the Augustine Institute, please visit missioncircle.org.
Developing a prayer life can be essential to keeping our youth rooted in the faith. Our next offering on the sampler comes from Life Team and their podcast series, the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast with Mark Hart.
Welcome to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast from Life Team. Reflections on the upcoming Catholic Mass readings so you can make the most of your Sunday. Here's your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast. I'm your host, Mark Hart. This week, we're taking a look at the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. You know, I have a sneaking suspicion that my six-year-old is trying to make me nuts. I mean, literally drive me insane. So a couple months back, I said to him, because I mean, he's six now. He's got to be paying attention at Mass. He's, you know, he's not two. He's not three. It's time to really pay attention, focus. You know, when he's younger, I would let him bring in, you know, a book or let him bring something like that to Mass because he doesn't know what's going on. He can't tell the difference from ordinary time to Lent. I mean, come on. But now he's six. So I said to him, buddy, listen, no more sneaking Hot Wheels into Mass. No more sneaking cars in there, okay? No cars at Mass. Come on, Dad, please. No cars at Mass. You're going to sit up. You're going to pay attention. You're going to kneel when we kneel, sing when we sing. Come on, dude, you can do this. He says, okay, Dad, no cars at Mass. So I looked down at him a couple months back, and as we stand at Mass and we sit for the first time, the first reading starts, I see him messing around with his pocket. He's trying to get something out. He's trying to pull it out. And I look over, and he pulls out a small toy plane, followed by a small toy helicopter, followed by a small Hot Wheel bus. You know what? He didn't bring a car. No, he brought the plane and the copter and the bus. And he looked back over at me, and I said, what did I tell you? He said, Daddy, you said no cars. Now, I got to be honest. I want to give the kid points for creativity because he did find the loophole. And as his old man, I'm pretty proud of him for that. But here's the thing. I think that's what a lot of us do in our faith. Instead of following the Lord, we follow the loophole. We look for the loophole. It's like, well, you know, yeah, it says don't commit adultery, but you know, I'm not really married. So is it really adultery? Yeah, it is. Here's the thing. In these readings this week, what the Lord is trying to get across to us, and what he's trying to get across specifically in this gospel from Matthew, is he's talking to his disciples, and he's trying to draw a parallel, a dichotomy between what it means to really follow the commandments and the ways that the scribes and the Pharisees follow the commandments. But see, they follow the commandments to the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law, right? It's almost like when you're looking for the loophole, or you're trying to create loopholes for yourself, but look how holy I am. I don't do this. I don't do that. But they weren't doing it for the right reasons. I mean, he's trying to say is, listen, whoever breaks a commandment, breaks the commandment. Whoever obeys and teaches the commandments is the greatest. But the Pharisees were going way too far with the commandments, putting all these heavy burdens, extra little commandments, extra little things in that God didn't intend. God was trying to make us holy. The Pharisees were trying to appear holy. So when he starts walking us through and recapping the commandments in the gospel, Jesus is basically saying, look, these were given to us by God through Moses, okay? I'm not coming to say these commandments aren't right. I'm coming to get your hearts right. That's the problem. You see, if you and I are only following the commandments because we're afraid of hell, if you and I are only following the commandments because God is like a judge in a courtroom and we don't want to offend him, instead of following the rules of the family because God is a dad in the living room who we don't want to disappoint, who we love, if we're following the commandments for the wrong reason, then we're really not doing it out of love, and we're really not pursuing God. It's not really about pursuing heaven. It's about trying to avoid hell, and that's the wrong motivation, and that's what they're talking about in the first reading. The book of Sirach is one of the greatest jewels in all of Scripture. Listen to how simple this is, okay? If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you shall live. That's pretty simple, right? That's really pretty easy. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. He's saying, look, you can justify your sin all you want. You can look for the loopholes. You can live in the loopholes, but don't expect me to be blind to it, okay? God is not some senile grandfather. God is the ever-aware father. He sees everything. Why? Because he loves us, because he wants us to spend eternity with him in heaven. And that's what St. Paul's trying to get across to the people in the second reading. People living in Corinth, he's like, listen, God's wisdom was mysterious for a long time. It's not mysterious anymore. Jesus came. It's not mysterious. Now we know how to live. Now we understand how to live. Now we understand how the commandments look when they're lived out. And it's worth it. Why? Because eye has not seen and ear has not heard how awesome heaven's going to be. He's quoting Isaiah here. But when St. Paul's saying this, he's saying, listen, you can't begin to fathom how worth it is to be holy, how worth it is to live the right way, how worth it heaven is. You can't even begin to understand it. So live the right way. Okay, life is not too mysterious. The commandments are not about breaking the rules. The commandments are about not breaking the Father's heart. My brothers and my sisters, this week, you and I have an opportunity to look at our lives and ask ourselves a hard question. Am I really seeking the Lord or am I seeking the loophole? I learned a lot from my son that day. I continue to learn a lot from him. And if I, as a father, still love him when he seeks the loophole, imagine how much God still loves you. And imagine how much he loves you when you don't. Have a great day.
For more Catholic content, check out lifeteam.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And remember to subscribe to this podcast for weekly reflections. God bless.
And if you want to start your kids on solid Catholic content, even before they reach their tweens and teens, here's a sample for the wee ones from Catholic Sprouts, daily podcast for Catholic kids.
You're listening to
Catholic Sprouts,
the daily podcast for Catholic kids that strives to plant seeds of faith. Hey there, Sprouts. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Today is also the feast day of one of my favorite saints, an American saint, St. Catherine Drexel. St. Catherine Drexel was born in Philadelphia, and she was an heiress. Now, maybe you know what that means, but that means you're a girl who was born to a fabulously wealthy family, like mind-bogglingly wealthy. And she could have done anything she wanted. She could have lived a very sinful and self-indulgent life, but she also really loved Jesus. And so she decided that even though she had millions and millions of dollars she inherited from her father, she was going to be a nun. So she became a nun. She founded an order. And with that order, she spent those millions of dollars serving people like Native Americans on reservations that didn't have access to education or healthcare, and even African Americans in the South who didn't have schools either. She spent all of that money loving them, praying for them, and welcoming sisters who served these communities with her. They met some really terrible situations where people hated them just for helping these minority groups. She is a great example of love and a great example of resisting the temptation to be greedy or to build up this life of comfort for ourselves just because we can. So this week on the Catholic Sprouts podcast, we are talking about the seven deadly sins. We're using the book Victory Over Vice by Venerable Fulton Sheen. And so we're talking about anger, and we've talked about how anger can be good, but when it turns to hatred, it's a sin. We talked about how the only way we can conquer hatred is by smothering it with love and mercy, which is exactly what Jesus did from the cross. And we hear Jesus say from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, this simple sentence actually offers us a powerful example of how Christ deals with anger and also how we should. Now, we know that the only way to really end these long, grudge-filled relationships that we might have is to authentically offer forgiveness. Forgiveness ends anger. And so, what does Christ tell us from the cross? He tells us that there is one big reason why we should always offer forgiveness. One big reason. And that reason is ignorance. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." He says, these people, they don't truly understand what they are doing. Now, you know, God is God and he is full of mercy. But this is a great lesson for us because in every situation we are in, do we ever fully understand what's happening? Do we ever fully understand what's on someone else's heart or what's in their mind or what happened to them or how this is just a really bad day or whatever? We never fully understand. And oftentimes when we're in an argument with someone, we say, they just don't understand what I'm trying to say or they don't understand why I did that, right? So often we know that we are not fully understood. And so Christ says, in every situation you are in, no matter how extreme, even him dying on the cross, he said, you don't understand everything. There is still an area where you are confused. And because of that, there is room for forgiveness. Now, a lot of times, Little Sprouts will write in with questions to this podcast, and sometimes they're really excellent questions that I don't know the answer to. But a question I get a lot is, why is there no chance for Satan to be forgiven? How come can he never be forgiven? And the reason he can't be forgiven is because he is an angel, right? He's a fallen angel. But angels have perfect understanding. They perfectly understand God. And because he perfectly understood, and so did all of the other fallen angels, they cannot be forgiven because there is no ignorance. They perfectly understood God's plan. They perfectly understood their role in that plan, and yet they rebelled against God. Their sin was a sin of perfect understanding. Thankfully, all of our sins, they do not have perfect understanding. We are confused about ourselves, about other people, about God. Because of that ignorance, Christ says, I choose to forgive. I will always choose to forgive. So the powerful lesson here for us is that in every misunderstanding, every fight we are part of, there is an ignorance. Right? We don't really understand why they're so mad. We don't really understand how this happened. And so, like Christ, don't demand the explanation. Don't demand that things get even. Just say you don't understand them fully and offer forgiveness. So I challenge you to think about one relationship that's difficult for you and to just acknowledge for a moment that there's something here you don't understand. And in your heart, just like Christ did from the cross, offer that person forgiveness.
That's it for Catholic Sprouts today. We'll be back tomorrow, but until then, continue to grow in your faith and truly sprout into the beautiful creation that God created you to be.
Just one more thing. This is your invitation to come and join us for Lent inside the Amen app from the Augustine Institute. In there, you will find a recorded version of the Jesus Tree. Our very, very popular Lenten devotional is based on the Gospel of Matthew, and the recorded version will take you day by day through the entire Gospel so that you can truly walk from the cradle to the grave to the resurrection with Christ this Easter season. The Amen app is 100% free. You can find it in the App Store or on Google Play, 100% free. Simply look for the Jesus Tree and get started. There is a separate devotional for each day of Lent. This is what my family will be using, and it would be such an honor if your family or your classroom would join us. You can find the direct link to download the Amen app from the Augustine Institute in the notes for this podcast episode.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.
And no list of suggestions for aids for your prayer life would be complete without Sacred Scripture. You can find the daily readings at the website for the USCCB. Here is just a sample of daily readings that you'll find there.
February 11th, 2023. Saturday of the fifth week in ordinary time.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God called to Adam and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you that you are naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel." To the woman he said, "I will intensify the pangs of your childbearing. In pain shall you bring forth children. Yet your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall be your master." To the man he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat, cursed be the ground because of you. In toil shall you eat its yield all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, as you eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face shall you get bread to eat, until you return to the ground from which you were taken. For you are dirt, and to dirt you shall return." The man called his wife Eve, because she became the mother of all the living. For the man and his wife the Lord God made leather garments, with which he clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing what is good and what is evil. Therefore, he must not be allowed to put out his hand to take fruit from the tree of life also, and thus eat of it and live forever." The Lord God therefore banished him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he had been taken. When he expelled the man, he settled him east of the Garden of Eden, and he stationed the cherubim and the fiery revolving sword to guard the way to the tree of life. The word of the Lord.
Responsorial Psalm. The response is, "In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Before the mountains were begotten, and the earth and the world were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man back to dust, saying, "Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge."
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In those days, when there again was a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus summoned the disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a great distance." His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place?" Still he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They replied, 7. He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said the blessing over them and ordered them distributed also. They ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people. He dismissed the crowd and got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. The Gospel of the Lord.
And no look at prayer would be complete without looking at the Our Father, the words that Jesus taught us to pray. And once again, this is Joan Watson from 3-Minute Theology.
Let's look at the Our Father, the most common Christian prayer, a prayer that's prayed at every baptism, at every confirmation, and at every Mass. This is the prayer that Christ himself taught us. When the apostles go to him, because clearly they've seen him pray, and they've seen him pray with great fervor and great passion, and they want to pray like him. And so they go and they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray," which would have been a common request for the rabbi that you were following. "Teach me how to pray like you pray." And this is what Christ teaches his apostles, the Our Father. And so we call it the Lord's Prayer. St. Thomas Aquinas, because of this, called it the perfect prayer. And he said this prayer teaches us not only to ask for things, but also the order in which we should ask for those things. When we look at it in Scripture, we find the Our Father both in St. Luke's Gospel and in St. Matthew's Gospel. Luke presents a slightly shorter version with only 5 petitions, whereas Matthew has the version that we're used to praying in the liturgy with 7 petitions. When we pray the Our Father, we have to think to ourselves, do I pray it mechanically? Do I pray it without even thinking of the words because it's so common and so familiar to me? And so we really want to concentrate on the words we're saying. Our Father. We are able to pray this prayer, number one, because Christ invites us to enter into this prayer with him, and so we pray it with Christ. But we also pray it with our brothers and sisters in the church. We pray it on behalf of them, and we pray it with them. God isn't just my Father. He's our Father. And we are reminded of this when we pray this prayer. He's our Father. That alone is a radical conception of God, that God loves us as a father loves us, that he has accepted us as sons and daughters. That not only gives us a great dignity as children of God, but it's also a call to humility. And it's a reminder that we are to depend on him as children depend on their fathers and their mothers. That's what Christ tells us when he says, you know, you have to be like a child if you want to enter the kingdom of God. Think of the radical dependence. A child can do nothing on their own. They depend fully on their parents. And they also trust those parents to do what's best for them. Christ revealed God as Father to us, and that's why we call him Father. And in this prayer, we're reminded that we need to see him as Father, who is looking out for what's best for us, who's protecting us from evil, who's forgiving our sins. I challenge you today to really pray the Our Father slowly, thinking of every single word and what that word means for you today. Do you really look to God as your Father who loves you and who wants what's best for you? Do you radically trust him in your life? That's the call of the prayer, the Our Father. And this is a little theology in 3 minutes.
And that's all the time we have for Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler for today. You can find this show in podcast form at catholicradioindy.org, along with links and directions to more of the programs that we've shared. We pray, Lord, let us be fully dedicated to prayer in our daily lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Kent Blanford, and until next time, may God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.